You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Phillies sweep Miami, despite concerns about Marlins pitching. No problem for the Phillies offense. Now it's on to the Braves. This is the Powder Blue Podcast. Frank Close, Jeff Mosher, and Jeff, did you have any doubt about the Phillies this wild card series?
I was really confident going in. Obviously, we talked about the lefty versus lefties and that, you know, the onus in that series, right, was going to be on the right-handed bats of the Phillies to come through. And Trey Turner did, JT Realmuto did, Johan Rojas, you know, in a subtle way really did. And that's not to say some of the left-handers didn't, but they got the Lizardo to throw a lot of pitches early. And once the Phillies won the game one, I didn't really have a whole lot of confidence that Braxton Garrett, you know, who's a young pitcher, was going to come in against that Phillies crowd and that Phillies lineup and be able to shut him down. And then I got to say, Skip Schumacher, I don't know what you're thinking out there with David Robertson being an innings eater in a game you got to win, but hey, you'll take it when you're the Phillies, right? And so I was, once they got through game one in Lizardo and got to him early, I was really, really confident that the series was going to go the Phillies way.
Yeah, Luzardo lasting just four innings. So like once Luzardo exited, I mean, even though the Phillies did have a big lead, I'm like, all right, well, this is okay. Like the Phillies have this in the bag, you know, because really the way that the Marlins would have won would have been a dominant start from Luzardo, and you could tell that the Phillies were making him work, you know, in the right. they did kind of waste the two on to start the first inning, so you wondered if that would kind of bite them. But then I was looking at the scoreboard, I was like, okay, he threw 24 pitches in the first. If they can make this continue, this could work out all right. And so Phillies ended up tagging him for just three runs, but really that ended up being enough. And then mm-hmm. of course the big moment, I suppose, of the series was the Bryson Stott grand slam. So what do you think that does for his confidence after having a little rough September?
Well, it's funny. When he got up, I they were making such a big deal about and deservedly so about how he just hasn't been swinging the bat really well. And I thought, man, this kid is due. Now, I didn't think he was going to hit an upper decker grand slam, but he was certainly due. And I think, look, we've come to know that Bryson Stott, I wouldn't call him streaky. I think for the most part, he's a very consistent guy. He has had a few slumps. I remember earlier in the season, he's having one. They were talking about him going to work a little bit, getting the hands back on top. And then he came out and had like a 4-for-4 day. So he's not, I didn't worry that this was going to carry out for a long time. And I thought that was a great spot for him. Phillies already had the lead. Here he is in the driver's seat to just relax. And, you know, first pitch, fastball, bam. It set it up really well, you know, new pitcher and everything like that. So I think it's great for his confidence, Frank, because now you're going into a series where you're not so worried about your right-handers coming through. You want them, your right-handed batters, but you know you're going to need your left-handed batters against this Braves pitching staff to come through too. So I'm happy. I think it's great to see Bryson Stott come alive. And if the Phillies can just keep working these pitchers, right? And I go back to that Johan Rojas at bat where he singled off of Lizardo after about fouling off seven or eight pitches, right? And then who was it? Was it Real Muto after that or Turner? I forget. No, I think it was Real Muto then who came through with the single to score him, right? It's just so vital that they continue to do that and not give away at bats, not get themselves out easily. And I really think, Frank, from the start of September on, even when the win-loss wasn't going their way against some teams, they were swinging the bats so well that I felt like really, even more so than last year, going into the playoffs, that they were not going to give themselves up a whole lot at the plate.
Yeah, they definitely seem to have the momentum. Of course, that four-game sweep of the Mets that they had before that really locked it in for them, even ahead of the Pirates. You know, they had a win one against the Pirates, but it just seemed like they were just locked in. And it was weird because even though they weren't trying the last few games, it didn't seem like they were losing any momentum in the process, even though they only took, what was it, one out of the last four.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, that's why. Right, it was almost how they were losing. Right, you knew that those games weren't as big. Just felt like consistently they were swinging the bats well at a good time. And I tell you what, if this is a big wild card, right? If JT Realmuto has a series against the Braves like he just did against the Marlins, if he can swing the bat like that, what a huge advantage it will be for the Phillies, among some other advantages that I think the Phillies might have. But That's just really key right there.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you there. So let's so it's funny, two game series. There's not a whole lot to talk about that Marlins series because it was just all Phillies the whole time. And by the way,
we can at least talk about and say, hey, look, if you were worried about Nola, if you were even worried about Wheeler a little bit, I think I think you got to give a lot of credit to the front office and the coaching staff. For knowing, hey, we're good. We know we got a playoff spot. Let's make sure we line it up so that we get Wheeler and Nola in our first two games, and that they're coming off good rest. And they were able to do that. That was key.
Yeah, and some teams don't do that well actually with the rest, because you know once the Phillies clinched, then Nola just sat for a while, right?
So right.
That was actually, you know, we talked about it, but it was kind of comical, you know, that one roster spot just turning between every game just to get somebody to come in and pitch a bunch of innings. But yeah, and then, you know, let's look to the next one. Now, it looks like the way that the schedule works out as we turn to the Braves, we're going to see Wheeler on regular rest and then Nola on extra rest, the way that works out. But the big question then would be, who's going to start game one? Who's your game one starter, Jeff?
So I'm torn between, like, let's do the best we can to steal game one and put Ranger out there. He's the king of composure. He's been in this situation, starting off with a left-hander against some of their good lefties. But then part of me thinks that why not go with Chris Sanchez there, another left-hander who's pitched better than Ranger, to be honest with you, more consistent this year. And then that gives you the opportunity to use Ranger in a relief role in game two or three if you need it, right? And maybe that's overthinking it. I mean, you've got Strom. Soto was actually pretty decent the other night and left-handed. I don't know. I don't want to out-strategize myself. My lean would be to go with Ranger Suarez for the reasons I gave. But this is not like last year's Ranger Suarez. He has not been the same kind of pitcher.
Yeah, I'm with you, but I for the reason of him being Mr. Composure, and
yeah,
I feel like he's going to be very prepared. I feel like he is going to know how to approach each hitter. So I feel like that, you know, he's the type of guy that'll say, okay, takes the step back, says, okay, well, Matt Olson, I need to throw him which pitch? Oh, okay, and then he just calmly does it. I mean, that's especially being in Atlanta. You know, I think you want that. I that might be too much for Chris Sanchez. By the way, we noticed we didn't even mention Taiwan Walker at all. So I think we're kind of figuring he doesn't get to start this series either.
Yeah, I mean, I really we're talking about game one, which left-hander, because we, you know, you don't want to go righty-righty-righty against this Braves lineup. So it's nothing against Taiwan, but I would agree with you on what's that?
I think it is.
Something against Taiwan?
Did Taiwan Walker earn a start in a situation like this down the stretch? I'm not sure he did.
That's fair too. That's fair too. But I was purely thinking, you know, I wanted a left-hander to choose between the two left-handers. But you're right. It's not like Taiwan finished the season, you know, so strong that you'd be confident. And by the way, I wanted to mention this, and I wanted to get your opinion on it. As we talk about the right-handed pitchers, Nola pitched well in game two. You wanted to see that kind of Nola. But I also think the Marlins got themselves out against him more than he had his best stuff. He obviously threw a lot of off speed. You got to generate a lot of swing and misses. I don't know that he was locating it really well, but the Marlins did an excellent job of helping him out by swinging at it. I almost think that exact pitching performance out of Nola against a better, more disciplined team, maybe Atlanta, right? You may not get the same results. So while I do credit him for pitching well, there were some things I saw where I thought, I wonder if this is more Marlins kind of getting themselves out or Nola really seizing the moment.
Now let's talk about the Braves lineup though. So throwing the lefty. So we agreed it'll be a lefty in game one, right? So the Braves lineup is pretty balanced. I mean, the lefty bat that would worry you is Matt Olson, know, their cleanup hitter, who's a hell of a player. You know, remember when the Braves got him and I thought that, oh, well, if they don't get Freddie Freeman back, then they're done. Well, then they go pull Matt Olson out of the air. It was like, okay, well, nope, they're even better now for the long run. But also, you know, Ozzie Albies, switch hitter, yep. And I guess the next best lefty would be Rosario. So they seem to be better from the right side with Acuna and Riley and Ozuna and Murphy and they're stacked, you know. So I don't know if the lefty righty thing gives them an advantage at any time, but yeah, I think you do want to see different perspectives, and I think that would help to have your softer tossing lefty and then a harder throwing righty in Wheeler in game two. So, but I think this helps the Phillies the way that the schedule plays out, right? So, Phillies had a couple days off. Now it's too soon to bring Wheeler back. I mean, you could bring him back on 3 days rest. I don't know that I would do that because I don't think he's. If it's a World Series, maybe, I don't know, but I would not bring Wheeler back on 3 days rest. Not something he's done. But so if Suarez gets game one, you have a day off before game two. So the Phillies actually have a day off in Atlanta on Sunday. Now I know they like to stagger the NL and AL, and they're trying not to compete with football a lot. that usually has a lot to do with it, that they don't want to compete with football on a Sunday, so people can watch their Eagles games and not have a conflict. And then so Monday in Atlanta, then Tuesday off, right? So that's a lot of days off in the middle of all this to get your bullpen rested. That's a nice advantage for both teams, really. But then they have the two home games on Wednesday and Thursday, with another day off before they would play a game five if they needed in Atlanta. So that means you can go Suarez game one, Wheeler game two, and then it would be Nola on 6 days rest on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. If we like him with a little extra rest, that's good. Mm-hmm. And then they would need to go back to the Suarez spot on Thursday, and that would be on a normal size rest. And then the same thing for Wheeler on a possible game five, if you want to go on a normal day's rest. So Phillies get two Wheeler starts out of this if necessary. So I will say when I'm really trying to break this down, I think the starting pitching is going to be what decides this series. Now we know the Atlanta bats are dynamic. You know, the Phillies bats can be dynamic, mm-hmm. but you're looking at two Wheeler starts, one Nola, two Suarez, Sanchez. You know, they could both pitch in that game. You know, if Suarez is struggling a little bit, then you could throw Chris Sanchez for a couple. I think that's a real possibility. But
right.
But I think this is going to come down to the starters. Now, Jeff, let's talk about these Atlanta Braves starting pitching, because I this is a hard time for the Braves. Now we're talking, okay, who's going to be sort of their number three? Right now, the Atlanta Braves don't have anybody really after their first two.
Right.
Right. So Spencer Strider, we all agree he is absolutely electric, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he is going to be a real challenge in game one. Let's be honest. Sure. Now, Can the Phillies bats stick it to him? I feel like one time out of his career, the Phillies bats actually got to him.
Yes.
And so, you know, I wouldn't rule out the possibility. I mean, who knows? Maybe he's a lot of pressure postseason start like this. You know, last year, actually, the one time they did get to him was last NLDS when he pitched in game three, right?
That's what I thought you were referring to.
No,
I
mean, well,
but you meant the other time. I know what you're now. Yeah, I know what you meant. Yes.
So if Bryce Elder, you know, he was the number three. He kind of fell off the planet down the stretch to the point where he is either being viewed as an opener if he starts at all in this, which is mind blowing because he was so good in the beginning and he was an all-star, but he had an ERA in September of 5.68.
Yeah.
I think they may give him the nod, but September was not kind to him. And so to the point where, you know, we're seeing people that cover the Braves say, well, maybe, you know, you could go Bryce, or maybe you could start Brad Hand and then go to A.J. Smith-Shawver. Like that,
well, that's the guy who scares me, by the way, Smith-Shawver.
Oh, really?
I mean, he's got some stuff.
He's not being considered to start.
I know. I'm just worried about him coming in some games, but go ahead.
There are more complications here because you say, okay, well then the number two starter, Max Fried. Well, Max Fried. He's been dealing with a blister on his pitching finger. So he pitched that simulated game that they had in Atlanta. They actually opened it up to fans. They were trying to make the Braves feel fresh during the wild card layoff that they have or bye. Although I don't, you know, we'll see over time if that helps teams or hurts teams that, you know, that dialing that intensity down. But he's got a blister on his finger. So, you know, they said that during his simulated game or whatever they were calling that little exposition, he pitched without a Band-Aid at first, and then he put one on and pitched with the Band-Aid too. Just makes it sound like he, you know, this could be a little nerve wracking for them and what that blister's going to do.
The whole idea that they're having this kind of simulated game, this is we're scared of the hell of the Phillies type of practice, right? I mean, this is not like just like come for BP, come for fielding practice, relax, go home. This is, oh shit, we have to play the Phillies again. Let's get like a simulated. Let's throw our pitcher who's got a blister issue. We're gonna just Band-Aid it up and let him get his work in.
Yeah. So, now the word a day ago was, well, they're saying, oh, it looks like it's healing very well.
Sure.
Is that a positive or is it, you know, I don't know. If I'm the Braves, I'm nervous because, you know, you might say, okay, it's healing great, but he hasn't been pitching in a major league game.
Yep.
You know, by the third inning, like this could be really bothering him, right?
Yes.
So it's on his left index finger. And, you know, if you're a lefty pitcher, that's not what you want.
Right. Right. So I have a couple of thoughts on what you just said. Number one, over the last 30 days, do you know what the Atlanta Braves team ERA is, to your point on their
pitching? I know it struggles? Hasn't been good.
5.78. Do you know where that ranks among the 32 teams?
Worst?
Second worst. Remember, okay. Colorado is always grandfathered into the 32nd spot. They are at 5.92. But yeah, so that's not like a one series or two. That's the last 30 days. So I think, I don't want to say the Braves are walking into a buzzsaw. They're very good. But clearly the Phillies were playing. The Phillies bats were heating up in September. The Braves arms were cooling off in September. And I think that that's big. Even Strider himself had a couple of starts where he wasn't him's normal self, where he had like a lot of strikeouts, but he was giving up runs. I think this is, listen, if there's ever time to try to get at this Atlanta pitching staff and Strider, it's now. I don't think this Phillies offense is going to be intimidated at all. Granted, they beat him last year because Rhys Hoskins hit the big home run off of him and Rhys isn't there, but they're a better offense this year. I mean, again, right-handed, the addition of Trey Turner, Johan Rojas has been good. They work guys, and the key will be to work these pitchers and get them deep into counts. So I'm confident in the way the Phillies are swinging the bats that they're not just going to go and strike out 15 times. I might eat those words, but I'm pretty confident in that now. Fried is a guy, you mentioned the blister issues, and he's not an overpowering guy. He's a crafty guy. So he's another guy that I'm not too scared of. And I'm obviously, you know, Strider is the guy that you have the mark on. But I think the whole five-game series, again, Frank, favors the Phillies for what you said. You're going to have two Wheeler, one Nola. You know, three out of five, you got your power right-handers there who have done it for you in the past, whereas the Braves are probably thinking, yeah, we got Strider for two, and I don't know what the heck we're going to – like, we really need Freed to be an ace like he was a couple of years ago and or Elder to just, like, shake this off, or we're going to need some great – pitching from our bullpen, which they
you imagine
get.
A bullpen game from the Braves in game three. I mean, that's literally what they're talking.
Yeah, that's crazy to me. So I just like the energy, and I you know, you can call me a homer, whatever you want. I'm trying to look at it objectively. I think I've been listening to some national podcasts, baseball podcasts, and they all say they think the Phillies are just as good as the Braves. So I mean, it's not just us. I think they're catching them at a really good time here. And I think last year, I do think that what they're doing in practice is, if you shot all those guys up with True Serum, I guarantee you, of all the teams in the National League playoffs that they least wanted to play, they would tell you it would be the Phillies.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. And you know what, Fried, he can't wear a Band-Aid in a Major League game. Like, that's not allowed. I could see him after a few innings that start to bother him. And, you know, even if the Phillies don't respond off him right away, it's going to be uncomfortable for him later. And then we didn't even mention yet, Charlie Morton is out on the IL as well. So both Morton and Fried ended the season on the IL. So
yeah,
when they're your two go-to starters beyond your number one, that's really nerve-wracking. And behind him, that's the big question mark. That might be Elder, might be Smith, Shaver. I forget how he says his name. Mm-hmm. But the Braves probably are a little bit nervous just about the pitching. You know, like the headlines out of Atlanta yesterday were, well, Braves mulling pitching options with roster. Well, if you're seriously going to start Brad Hand.
Oh my God!
I mean, even if he is an opener, if that's something you're talking about, I think the Phillies should just, you know, like Nick Castellanos sticking up his ring finger, which we thought was a different finger initially before we really had to go back and look at it, saying he wants that ring. I could see the Phillies going in there and just stomping on this pitching.
Because that would be what that would if they had to do that. That would probably be for them. That would be game three or
game
four.
Three.
Game three.
Because they can bring
my God, the first game in Philadelphia.
Oh man, that's even better. Because Strider would pitch the two games at home. They right. would, you know, if there is a game five, notice I say if because yeah. I might be feeling the Phillies in four here.
You know, I was afraid to say that, but I've been thinking it.
You know, I keep digging through this, and I mean, and look, that's not to say this is going to be easy by any means, but certainly right. any team with Ronald Acuna, Ozzie Albies, Matt Olson. I mean, so what are the scores going to be in some of these games? Like, do you see the potential for a high scoring game at any time? Like,
game one, I could see it now. You know, obviously Strider's on the mound for the Braves, so you're going to have to, like, get to him. But, again, I think they're swinging good bat. Maybe probably more so, let's see, game three in Philadelphia. If that winds up being Nola versus Elder, you know, we know Nola can struggle to keep the ball in the yard, even at home, and that's a great Braves lineup. And then Elder is not pitching very well, and the Phillies have a great lineup. So that would be the game that, if I think about it, really I could see being a 8-6, 9-7 type of game, you know.
But the Phillies could put up nine.
Oh yeah. Yeah, the Phillies can put up nine, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, they did actually. I think it was the last Elder start, the Phillies kind of knocked them around a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't remember who won, but I remember them knocking him around a little bit. But yeah, I'm looking at Spencer Strider's numbers last 7 days. Okay, last 15 days, 30 days. Okay, I'm looking at it. You know, ERA 5.60 in his last 30 days. So Strider was they were getting to Strider out there. So
yep.
By
the way, Ozzie Albies, you mentioned him, right? And again, the Phillies are going to be a more of a right-handed staff, obviously with just one start that's probably going to be started by a lefty. So Albies is probably going to be batting left-handed for most of the series, right? Against the starters. Well,
yeah.
This year, batting left-handed, His batting average is 391, which is sounds great, right? The OBP is only 406, so he doesn't really walk a whole lot. He swings the bat. 5 homers and 19 RBIs, though, from the left side. From the right side, 28 homers, 90 RBIs. So please have
keep him in the park.
Ozzie Albies batting lefty. Yeah, keep the ball. If he's getting on base, that sucks too, because he can steal a base or he can score on a home run, but at least you're keeping him in the yard if you have him batting from the left side.
Yeah. By the way, I love how Ozzie Albies, he got the Twitter handle Ozzie.
Yeah, that's his Twitter? Just Ozzie?
Yeah, just Ozzie. No,
nobody named Ozzie thought of, hey, I'm just...
Maybe, I don't know. He's got money. Maybe he bought it off of somebody.
Oh, that's
but,
a good point.
Yeah. And he spells it differently than the other Ozzie. You know.
Ozzie Smith?
But what's that?
You mean
no,
Ozzie
no,
Smith,
no. He spells it the same as Ozzie Smith. I'm thinking Ozzie Osbourne, but
yes.
But
yeah.
Jeremy Osbourne has Ozzie, O-Z-Z-Y.
That's funny.
But yeah. So, and the other thing too, I mean, Marcell Ozuna, the guy, it's very easy to dislike for other reasons, but he always seems to have the Phillies number from the right side. So I think the righties, tough righties against him would be good. So. Now, Kevin McAlpin, you might remember Kevin McAlpin, who used to be in the Philly media market as a producer. He's been doing great stuff covering the Braves down in Atlanta for a number of years now. It feels like it was last week he was around here. But, you know, overall, you know, looking at some of the numbers against the Phillies, Spencer Strider, 8 appearances, 8-0, 1.90 ERA with 72 strikeouts and 47.1 innings pitched. So, you know, now that doesn't include the last start he made against the Phillies where he gave up. I mean, it includes the last start where he gave up 4 runs. So you could get him. Now, other stats against the Phillies. Matt Olson, 14 homers in 35 career games, including 11 and 70 at-bats at Citizens Bank Park.
Oh, man, that guy.
Acuna, 952 OPS with 17 homers and 286 lifetime at-bats against the Phillies. So, you know, this is entertaining, so, right? It's going to be entertaining.
Yeah. I mean, let's be real. Like, any game, you ask, you know, can some of these games be high scoring? Like, every single one of them could. I mean, these are not the type of hitters that you can see, like, going complete all dry at the same time in the playoffs. Even though we know pitching beats good hitting, you know, a guy like Ozuna, yeah, he can get shut down in the playoffs. A guy like JT Realmuto or Castellanos, they can get a little wild at times and succumb to good pitching. But most of the guys in the Braves lineup, and guys like Harper and Turner and even Schwarber lately, they're hitting lefty and righty, and they're making contacts. So all of these games could wind up being a little bit more high scoring than we think.
Yeah, I think so. So, I already kind of said I think the Phillies have a shot of winning this in 4 games. What say you?
Yeah, I'm, you know, at the risk of being a homer, I mean, I know how good the Braves are and have been, but honestly, they were great in April when the Phillies were not. If you look at the schedule from the All-Star break on, the Braves are like 3 or 4 games better than the Phillies. And so to me, if you take 3 or 4 games between the Phillies and Braves this year, where a lot of them were 1 or 2 run games, I mean, it's a toss up. But I go with some intangibles here, and coming into Philadelphia right now is no fun, no matter who you are, because that crowd is more electric than any crowd there is in all of baseball. And that includes, you know, New York crowds when the Mets and Yankees are in the playoffs. I think Citizens Bank Ballpark right now is the best home field advantage in the game. And so I'm going to go with the Phillies on this. And I'm going to pick them in 4.
I think they need to do it in 4. I think if they go back to Atlanta for the 5th and Spencer Strider's on the mound there, that makes me nervous. But
I would agree with that.
I think the Phillies have a real shot here. I think they're lining up right as the Braves are. Or have those pitching question marks. To me, that's the difference, that you're going to get three starts from Nola and Wheeler combined. They've got 2 against Spencer Strider and some question marks. And because that second Strider one doesn't come till game 5, I'm thinking the Phillies have a shot doing this in 4.
From your lips to God's ears, as they say, Frank.
Well, they have to play the games, but I, you know, I, just what I saw from this team, these couple games in Philadelphia, I think I think they're locked in and ready. And I think that nothing else, this is going to be a very entertaining series. Game one, Saturday, 6:07 p.m. Game two, Monday, 6:07 p.m. Waiting to hear on the rest. I'd love to know when they're in Philly. Yeah, my poor buddy telling me, oh yeah, I'm taking my son to the Sixers game on Wednesday. It's going to be great. I'm like, ooh, that's going to be an experience. Trying to sure get down be. There for that. He's not a big Phillies guy, but man, they're going to have a hard time, I think, getting in and out of the Wells Fargo Center on Wednesday.
I would imagine so. Might as well just stick around and, you know, go to a local establishment. Even I know he said he had a son, but, you know, do something.
Yeah, maybe postpone that whole thing just because it's going to be little hectic down in South Philadelphia on Wednesday. But Jeff, I think we'll have plenty more baseball to talk about this off season.
Postseason. Yeah. Yeah. So we should be able to do another one probably maybe after game two or something like that in between.
Yep. And
give a little progress report.
That sounds good to me. So, but for now, Powder Blue Podcast, Frank Close, Jeff Mosher. Enjoy the playoffs.